Hi everyone, 欢迎来到酒馆，在这里遇见更广阔的世界。
一些重要的日子是为了提醒自己爱与被爱，找回爱的能力先从悦己开始。酒馆铺子在七夕来临之际，祝愿你有所长，有人爱，生活有期待。即日起到8月19日，酒馆铺子全店每300减30，更有三大专区叠加尊享98折上折。来微信小程序酒馆铺子搜索买一送一，买一送三，买一送四，我们在酒馆等你。Now, on with the show.
Unexplained Mysteries with Anlan. Welcome to a world of secrets and unanswered questions. A world of true mysteries that no one has ever solved. Today, we are going on a journey into the strange and the unexplained. Are you ready to explore the unknown? Let's begin.It is Paris, 1925. The city was enjoying a warm spring. Elegant cars moved along wide boulevards. Well-dressed crowds filled cafes and fashionable hotels welcomed wealthy guests from across Europe. Above them all stood the Eiffel Tower. Today, it's impossible to imagine Paris without it.The iron structure appears on postcards, films, keyrings, and millions of holiday photographs. It is one of the most recognisable buildings in the world. But in 1925, not everyone loved it. The tower had been built for the Paris World's Fair in 1889. It was supposed to demonstrate French engineering and industrial power.At more than 300 metres tall, it was unlike anything the world has seen. Many artists and writers hated it. They thought the enormous iron structure was ugly and completely unsuitable for a beautiful historic city. The tower was originally expected to remain for only 20 years. However, its height made it useful for radio communication.So it was saved from demolition. By the 1920s, it was still standing, but maintaining thousands of tons of iron was expensive. The tower required regular repairs and repainting to protect it from rust. And somewhere in Paris, a man called Victor Lustig read a newspaper article discussing these problems. As he read,An extraordinary thought entered his mind. He was going to sell the Eiffel Tower. There was only one small difficulty. It didn't belong to him. Victor Lustig was one of the most successful confidence tricksters of the early 20th century. Even his real identity is uncertain. He claimed that he had been born in 1890.In a small town belonging to Austria-Hungary, now located in the Czech Republic. Sometimes he described himself as a son of an important local family. At other times he said his parents had been poor farmers. Historians have struggled to confirm even these basic details. The uncertainty was appropriate.Because Victor Lustig spent his life becoming other people. He used dozens of false names and carried several passports. He spoke multiple languages and could present himself as an aristocrat, businessman, banker, or government official. One of his favourite identities was Count Victor Lustig. There is no evidence that he was really a count, but he dressedcarefully, spoke quietly, and behaved as people expected a European aristocrat to behave. Lustig understood an important principle. People often believe what they expect to see. If he had entered a luxury hotel wearing dirty clothes and shouting about an exciting opportunity, people would have probably called security. Instead, he appeared calm.Serious and slightly distant. He did not desperately ask people to trust him. he behaved as if his importance should have been obvious. Before arriving in Paris, Lustig had already carried out numerous dishonest schemes in Europe and the United States. He often met wealthy travellers aboard ocean liners and persuaded them to invest in imaginary businesses or unusual machines. But the Eiffel Tower would be his boldest plan. According to later accounts, the idea came from a genuine newspaper discussion about the tower's expensive maintenance. The story did not say that the tower would definitely be demolished, it merely discussed its problems. For Lustig, however, that was enough. He began presenting himself as a senior official from the French Ministry of Posts and Telegraphs. He used official-looking stationery and invited several of Paris's leading scrap metal dealers to a confidential meeting. The location was carefully chosen, the Hôtel de Crillon, one of the grandest hotels in Paris. The building stood on the Place de la Concorde and was filled with marble, chandeliers, and expensive furniture. Government ministers, diplomats, and aristocrats regularly visited it. When the businessmen arrived, everything appeared correct. The hotel was impressive, the letters looked official, their host was perfectly dressed and spoke with confidence. Lustig explained they had been invited to discuss a matter of great national importance. The French government, he said, had decided to demolish the Eiffel Tower. Its original purpose had ended, public opinion remained divided, and the cost of maintenance had become too high. The government, therefore, planned to sell the tower's metal. But the decision had to remain secret. If the public discovered the plan too early, there might be protests. The newspaper would create a political scandal. For this reason, only a small group of respected businessmen had been invited to compete for the contract. The story sounded extraordinary, but it did not sound impossible. The Eiffel Tower contained more than 7,000 tons of iron. For a scrap metal dealer, the right to dismantle it and sell that material could produce an enormous profit. Lustig invited the businessmen to submit private bids. He then arranged a tour of the tower. A hired limousine carried the group through central Paris. Lustig sat among the businessmen like a government official supervising an important national project. When they reached the tower, he showed them around and allowed them to examine the structure. Tourists and workers moved nearby, paying no attention to the group. For the businessmen, this public setting made the proposal feel more authentic. Surely a criminal would not discuss a fake government contract while standing directly beneath the Eiffel Tower. But Lustig was not really interested in their technical opinions. He was watching their reactions. Who appeared ambitious? Who wanted the contract most? Who would be the easiest to persuade? His attention settled on a businessman named André Poisson. Poisson was relatively new to the Paris business world. He wanted to expand his company and establish himself among the city's most important scrap metal dealers. Winning the Eiffel Tower contract could transform his career. However, Poisson's wife was suspicious. Why was the meeting taking place in a hotel instead of a government office? Why was everything so secret? Why had this unknown official chosen her husband? Poisson began asking questions. Lustig realized the deal was in danger. He needed to make his performance more believable. During a private conversation, Lustig changed his manner. He became less formal and appeared slightly uncomfortable. He suggested that government officials were poorly paid. Awarding such a valuable contract involved great personal responsibility. the meaning was clear. Lustig wanted an additional private payment. Strangely, this made Poisson less suspicious. A request for a dishonest payment seemed believable. Poisson could understand corruption more easily than he could understand extraordinary good luck. If the official was asking for money, Poisson reasoned, perhaps the official really did control the contract. Poisson agreed to pay. Reports suggest that he gave Lustig approximately 70,000 American dollars, including the price of the supposed contract and the extra private payment. In 1925, this represented a fortune. In exchange, Poisson received documents giving him the right to demolish the Eiffel Tower. The documents were worthless. Shortly afterwards, Lustig boarded a train carrying the money and escaped to Vienna. There he watched the French newspapers and waited. He expected to see headlines about the crime. He imagined that police would circulate his description across Europe. He prepared to disappear under another identity. But nothing happened. Day after day, the newspapers remained silent. André Poisson had realised he had been tricked, but reporting the crime would mean admitting that he had tried to bribe a government official. It would also reveal that he had paid an enormous sum for a building that was never for sale. Humiliated and afraid of becoming a public joke, Poisson apparently chose not to contact the police. His silence protected the man who had robbed him. When Lustig realised this, he made an astonishing decision. He returned to Paris and tried to sell the Eiffel Tower again. He contacted another group of scrap metal dealers and repeated the story. Once again, he presented himself as a government official responsible for arranging the secret demolition. This time, however, his chosen buyer became suspicious and contacted the police. Lustig escaped before he could be arrested and left France. Despite the popular claim that he sold the Eiffel Tower twice, the evidence suggests that his second attempt did not succeed. Nevertheless, selling it once had been remarkable enough. Lustig returned to the United States and continued committing fraud under different identities. Eventually, however, he became involved in a large counterfeiting operation. By 1935, federal agents were searching for him. When they finally arrested Lustig in New York, they found an unexplained key in his possession. It led them to a locker in the Times Square subway station, containing counterfeit banknotes and equipment connected with the operation. Even then, Lustig was not finished. While waiting for his trial, he escaped from federal detention in broad daylight. Reports claim that he pretended to be a worker cleaning the outside of the building while people watched from the street. He remained free for 27 days before officers captured him in Pittsburgh. This time, his ability to talk his way out of trouble had reached its limit. Lustig pleaded guilty and received a total sentence of 20 years, 15 years for counterfeiting and another 5 for escaping from custody. In April 1936, he was sent to Alcatraz, the famous island prison in San Francisco Bay. The man who invented dozens of identities was now officially recorded as prisoner number 300. Even there, the authorities were not certain of his real name. His prison documents identified him as Robert V. Miller, which may have been yet another invention. In 1947, after being transferred to a federal medical center in Missouri, Lustig died from complications connected with pneumonia. His death certificate contained one final, unintentional, perfect detail. under occupation, someone had written apprentice salesman. In one sense, Victor Lustig never truly sold the Eiffel Tower. He did not own it. He could not transfer it, remove it, or give anyone the legal right to demolish it. What he sold was a story. He sold Poisson the belief that a secret opportunity had appeared. He sold him the dream of becoming one of Paris's most successful businessmen. Most importantly, he persuaded Poisson to ignore his doubts. That is why this kind of crime is called a confidence trick. The criminal does not simply take money. First, he takes someone's confidence. Victor Lustig did not need to steal the Eiffel Tower. He only needed one person to believe that he could sell it.
喜欢听酒馆的音频节目？酒馆也有自己的视频号，现在每天露露都在公益直播，干货多多，欢乐多多。来微信视频号露露的英文小酒馆，一键预约所有直播。想要加入酒馆社群或者咨询课程，别忘了添加小助手哦，微信号是 LULUXJG 后面一个数字1。